last word on the environment on Today FM.
With ESB Networks, connecting you to a clean electric future. ESBnetworks.ie.
It's Thursday, so it is Environment Day with John Gibbons, his second appearance with us this week on the programme. But this is his normal weekly spot, and we have a number of things to discuss, starting with something which I hope you're not going to endorse: the climate activists who are deflating car tyres on SUVs. Tell us about this.
Good afternoon, Matt. Yeah, this is a group who've styled themselves the Tyre Extinguishers. And basically, it's an ad hoc group. And what they're doing is they're going around, as you say, they're deflating tyres. They're targeting SUVs. In Brighton the other day, they let the air out of the tyres of about 250 vehicles, another 30 vehicles in Edinburgh. So I guess...
So in what way are they leaving the air out? Are they just actually deflating them? Or are they actually cutting the tyres?
Oh, no.
The tyres
this is strictly a non... criminal damage approach. So it's civil disobedience. So what they're doing is basically deflating the tyres at the valve.
But it's dangerous though, isn't it? Because if somebody attempted to drive a car not realising, they might lose control of the SUV and could cause harm and injury to people.
Sure. That's why they're leaving literature on under the windshields of all the cars they do it with, explaining that the tyre has been lowered, and also trying to explain, I'm not suggesting that everybody's going to be happy about it, they're not, but trying to explain to people why they're doing this in the first place.
But isn't this the type of thing that's only going to piss off people enormously and actually set the environmental campaigns backwards, in that people finding it difficult enough to listen to the message coming from you and from others without then having it hammered home by acts of vandalism against their property?
Yeah, I guess there's the thin line, as you say, between vandalism and activism. And I suppose, you know, if you look back at the history of civil disobedience, whether it's the civil rights movement, the anti-apartheid movement, women's suffragette movement, you know, the women's suffragettes, for example, they broke windows. They did other acts of civil disobedience and in some cases violence. We look back at them and say, well, OK, were they wrong to do that? We let the historians decide that. But the point is, they felt their case was so overwhelmingly urgent that they were prepared to step outside the law. And the effect of it, Matt, was that dramatic change happened. What you find is it's very difficult to implement dramatic change if you simply go along with the status quo.
So are you equating climate activism and measures to promote it with the suffragette movement and the anti-apartheid movement?
And the civil rights movement, absolutely. In each case, these were groups of people, self-organised in most cases, who came together to address what they saw as an egregious harm. And I don't know any greater harm that people would want to come together to address than the imminent destabilisation and collapse of the global climate system, which you and I have talked about on many occasions. In fact, earlier this week, we spoke about the latest World Meteorological Organization report showing us that we're now heading towards an extremely dangerous 1.5 degree threshold. Now, thing is, Matt, all the politicians, they keep talking about this. We hear about it occasionally in the media, but what's missing from it is a sense of urgency. Now, that comes from the street. And I would remind you that Ireland in 2019, we declared a climate and biodiversity emergency. And you know why that happened, Matt? It didn't happen because people were writing letters to the Irish Times. It happened because thousands of kids left school, played truant, and went down and marched and demanded that people take it seriously. Was that civil
disobedience? Fair enough, but it's not deflating the tyres of cars creating potential accidents.
Sure.
And why the emphasis on SUVs? I mean, are these people actually making a distinction between the petrol and diesel SUVs and the electric ones, of which there are many, or even the hybrid ones that people have?
Yeah, I believe some of the latter have also been deflated. So I guess the whole point is they're targeting, first and foremost, they're targeting internal combustion engines. But remember, this is a self-organised group. So I'm sure that people are probably mixing them up and getting the good with the not so good. But the basic reason, of course, for targeting SUVs as opposed to any other vehicles is that since SUVs have, which by the way have been pushed hard by the motor industry in the teeth of a climate emergency. So let's take the last 10 years globally. The amount, the contribution of SUVs, the additional emissions from SUVs we're looking, Matt, globally at 700 million tonnes. If SUVs were a country, they would be the world's seventh largest polluting country on earth. And all the progress, for example, that had been made up to about 2010 in internal combustion engines and, of course, in electrics and hybrids, all that progress has been wiped out by the sale and relentless marketing of SUVs. And I think this is the key thing. Another climate report recently recommended, for example, that there be a ban put in place on promoting SUVs because, apart from the huge climate impacts, they're also far more dangerous to other road users. There was a study done in the Monash University in Australia, and what they said apropos SUVs, they said, while not improving crashworthiness overall, SUVs put other road users at higher risk of severe injury and death. So the SUV, which might feel good to individuals, basically, it's a tax, if you like, on everybody else, on all other road users. And I would stress this, Matt, this isn't really about laying the blame on the individual. This is more about an industry that has relentlessly pushed SUVs against all the advice. And as I say, the impact of that, and you might say, well, where's all this extra emissions coming from? It's really a weight game, because basically we're talking about larger vehicles and probably on average 30% heavier. And this is simple physics. When your vehicle is 30% heavier, it uses 30% more emissions on average.
I'm a sinner in this regard, although we did recently trade down from a hybrid 3.2 litre 7-seater to a hybrid 2 litre 5-seater. So will you give us some credit for trading down, or are you against the hybrids as well?
No, we'll say partial credit. It would be a whole other discussion between the battery electrics, the plug-in hybrids and the internal combustion. But I will say the overall direction of traffic here is pretty unequivocal. And where we are, Ireland, for example, has confirmed we're exiting the sale of new internal combustion cars by 2030. That's only 7.5 years out. So basically, if you're currently buying an internal combustion engine car, remember, it will probably be your last one. And you're also likely to take a pasting when you come to trade it in. So it might be time to think about biting the bullet and going electric. And it's something, a decision I made myself a few years ago. And absolutely, apart from a not such a great plug-in network around the country, apart from that, a fantastic decision, and I'd never look back.
Okay, Coldplay are going on tour again. I don't know if there's any plans to come back to Ireland. They played in Croke Park, I think, the last time they were on tour. But they've also decided to go green. And they've decided to halve their touring emissions. And they're doing this by doing a partnership with a Finnish oil company. So what's the reaction to that?
Yeah, this is one of the problems, the so-called tall poppy syndrome for Coldplay. Because Coldplay, I guess, they're one of those righteous bands. Chris Martin very much wants to do the right thing. The problem with doing that, of course, is that if you do it in a kind of a half-assed way, as they have done it here, then you're going to get criticised. So the Finnish oil company, it's a company called Neste, and they claim to be the world's largest producer of sustainable biofuels. Now, most people will tell you, Matt, that biofuels and sustainability is not a phrase you try to get into the same sentence.
It's an oxymoron,
is it? It's pretty much an oxymoron, because essentially at the moment we've got fossil fuels, we've got the trick of feeding people, and we've got biofuels. So when you're into biofuels, what you're basically doing is you're growing food to feed aircraft. Not a great idea, especially in a tightening global food crisis.
So Coldplay, get into bed with them. And why people are saying that they're indulging this Finnish company in greenwashing.
Yeah, this is the problem. Because Coldplay are such a high-profile group, obviously, and for example, their last tour, over 5 million people went to see it. So it is huge. And as I say, Chris Martin, they want to do the right thing. They've got some really wacky things like a kinetic floor. So basically, at their concerts, the floor harvests a certain amount of electricity. I know it sounds a bit twee, which, by the way, it is a bit twee. It probably harnesses about 7 or 8 kilowatts. So, but it's part of the do the right thing. Also, their stands are made of biodegradable bamboo and also recycled steel. So they're trying to eliminate the kind of things that are real sticking points in this. And of course, the music industry is a hugely wasteful industry. It's notoriously wasteful because, of course, it's about setting up enormous gigs in fields. And we've all seen the images down the Electric Picnic the day after, thousands of tents abandoned. There is a real hedonistic thing about it. And of course, the other aspect...
But it's fun, John.
Ah, sure, I know. I mean, I know.
We've all missed so much. The mass gatherings of people. I was lucky enough to be in Lansdowne Road for the rugby last Saturday.
Sorry for your troubles.
I know, but it was one of those remarkable things. Everybody singing Zombie together and just this remarkable. People love getting together, so they're going to go to Electric Picnic and they're going to go to these other events and sort of telling them that they shouldn't, or that these concerts are bad for the environment, again, is only going to make people fed up.
I know, it's a killer, isn't it? I'm here, your weekly dose of, you know, sort of cod liver oil for the public, right? I wish it were otherwise. And I think the thing is, we can do stuff better. And to be fair to Coldplay, they are far better off than 99% of the other bands. And that's, I mentioned the tall poppy syndrome. It is a little tough and a little unfair, I think, to single out Coldplay for not getting it absolutely right. There's so many other bands that simply don't give a damn, right? The one thing I would, by the way, digress with Coldplay on is they're still flying around the world on this tour on private jets. Now, there's no reason for that. And he's talking about this is where he got into bother, in fact. He was trying to come up with this sustainable aviation fuel.
So,
and
Chris
again,
Martin, go Ryanair, is it?
Well, absolutely. He could be the guy in the seat beside you who's got the, he's paid extra for to be able to stretch his legs out. Sure, why not? I mean, maybe not Ryanair, but why not maybe go first class? It's still a massive step up from private aviation.
Ryanair will claim they're the cleanest airline in Europe. We're not getting into that debate. Which, you know. One final one though, for all the people who want to do something right and who want to retrofit their house, it might be very difficult to find somebody to do it.
Yeah, this is the problem, and this showed up at the Oireachtas Committee this week, and they basically identified a lack of construction workers, which they say is threatening our ability to hit climate targets. And this makes sense. We're in a very tight labour market in Ireland. We know, for example, the government is pushing hard on retrofitting targets. I know this myself because I'm in the process. You may remember some time back we spoke about the upgrading to the heat pump and solar PV.
And that's all coming along, isn't it?
It's coming along, but it's coming along slowly, Matt.
Have you been able to find contractors to do it?
Yes, I have. Now, I'm getting them in to do it. I've got them booked. We've agreed our prices, and I will hopefully be back to talk about how that went on another occasion. But it is a slow process, and you contact people, nobody gets back to you, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very, very tight and constrained market. And I think what they also find is that there is a very traditional idea that the construction industry is not very glamorous. For example, very few women and go into the construction and people say, oh, it's apprenticeship, I don't really like it. And I guess what the industry is saying is that the modern construction industry is first of all, much cleaner. It's much more high tech. We've got heat pumps, you've got insulation, you've got underfloor heating, you've got solar PV. Basically, it's now really high technology. In much the same way, you could say that the car industry went from kind of the grease monkey reputation, if you like, of your typical mechanic, now to very much high tech. So I think the home retrofitting has undergone a revolution. But that, of course, because we're trying to build more homes and we're trying to retrofit at the same time and we're trying to do all these things in a big hurry, of course there's a tightness in the market. But I will say, on the other hand, Matt, if you're, you know, son or daughter or nephew or niece is thinking about a career, this is a fantastic sector to get into because it's only one way that it's going, and that is up.
John Gibbons, thank you for joining us for our weekly Environment Spot here on The Last Word of Today FM. Your last word to 087 4100 102.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.